Well, recently, I was leading a discipleship group, and after the discipleship group, most of the men had dispersed, and one young man, he's, I suppose, about 32, he came up to me and he said, "How do I keep from wasting my life?" And as he asked me that question, "How do I keep from wasting my life?" I was reminded of a story of John Piper about an old man who had come to church for many years but had never committed himself to Jesus Christ. And one day, after hearing a message, he came to the front of the auditorium and talked to John Piper's father, and he said to him, "I've wasted it, I've wasted it." Meaning, of course, that he had wasted his life and that now there was nothing he could do to change that fact. Well, John Piper used that story as a challenge to others to not do what that man thought he had done. He used it as a challenge to others not to waste their lives. And today I want to direct your attention to a biblical story of a man who not only wasted his life, but also ruined his life. And more than that, he not only ruined his own life, he brought heartache and pain into the lives of others with whom he was associated. And even more than that, he brought great reproach on his family and on the name of God. I want to talk to you about the mistakes that this man made that absolutely ruined his life. And I want to do this because I'm convinced that there are many people in our world and even in our churches, who are making some or all of the mistakes that this man made. And I want to do this because the scripture says that he's given us in his word everything that we need for living and for godliness. And he's given us in his word what we need to make us wise unto salvation, to teach, to reprove, to correct and train us so that we would not waste our lives, but that we would be thoroughly equipped unto every good work. Now, the story of this man who ruined his life by making some very serious mistakes is found in 2 Samuel chapter 13, verses 1 through 29. Now, the name of this man was Amnon, who was the eldest son of David, who was the king of Israel and the author of many of the Psalms in our Bible. Now, because Amnon was the son of David, I think it's safe to assume that he knew something about God. I think it's safe to assume that he had the privilege of being taught biblical truth. He knew something about what was right and wrong. He had probably been involved in worship services and taught the truth of faith and obedience. He probably knew the Ten Commandments. He probably knew the importance of being rightly related to God, the importance of forgiveness. And yet the fact is that he made some very serious mistakes that ruined his life and affected many others in a negative way. In Proverbs chapter 4, a brother of Amnon said, "When I was a son to my father, tender and the only son in the sight of my mother, he taught me. And he said to me, 'Let your heart hold fast my words, keep my commandments, and live. Acquire wisdom, acquire understanding. Do not forget her, nor turn away from the words of my mouth.'" Now, if David did that with his son Solomon, I think it's safe to assume that he also did that with his son Amnon. Now let me read his story, and then we're going to learn something about the mistakes that Amnon made, which I am convinced that many people today are making as well. The text says, "Now it was after this that Absalom, the son of David, had a beautiful sister whose name was Tamar, and Amnon, the son of David, loved her. And Amnon was so frustrated because of his sister Tamar that he made himself ill, for she was a virgin, and it seemed hard to Amnon to do anything to her. But Amnon had a friend whose name was Jonadab, the son of Shimeah, David's brother, in other words, his cousin. And Jonadab was a very shrewd man. And he said to him, "Oh, son of the king, why are you so depressed morning after morning? Will you not tell me?" Then Amnon said to him, "I'm in love with Tamar, the sister of my brother Absalom." Jonadab then said to him, "Lie down on your bed and pretend to be ill. When your father comes to see you, say to him, 'Please let my sister Tamar come and give me some food to eat, and let her prepare the food in my sight that I may see it and eat from her hand.'" So Amnon lay down and pretended to be ill. When the king came to see him, Amnon said to the king, "Please let my sister Tamar come and make me a couple of cakes in my sight that I may eat from her hand." Then David sent to the house for Tamar, saying, "Go now to your brother Amnon's house and prepare food for him." So Tamar went to her brother Amnon's house, and he was lying down. And she took dough, kneaded it, and made cakes in his sight, and baked the cakes. And she took the pan and dished them out before him, but he refused to eat. And Amnon said, "Have everyone go out from me." So everyone went out from him. Then Amnon said to Tamar, "Bring the food into the bedroom that I may eat from your hand." And so Tamar took the cakes which she had made and brought them into the bedroom of her brother Amnon. When she brought them to him to eat, he took hold of her and said to her, "Come, lie with me, my sister." But she answered him, "No, my brother, do not violate me, for such a thing is not done in Israel. Don't do this disgraceful thing. As for me, where could I get rid of my reproach? And as for you, you'll be one of the fools in Israel. Now, therefore, please speak to the king, for he will not withhold me from you." However, he would not listen to her. Since he was stronger than she, he violated her and lay with her. Then Amnon hated her with a very great hatred, for the hatred with which he hated her was greater than the love with which he had loved her. And Amnon said to her, "Get up, go away." But she said to him, "No, because this wrong in sending me away is greater than the other that you've done to me." Yet he would not listen to her. And then he called his young man who attended him and said, "Now throw this woman out of my presence and lock the door behind her." Now she had on a long-sleeved garment, for in this manner the virgin daughters of the king dressed themselves in robes. And then his attendant took her out and locked the door behind her. And Tamar put ashes on her head and tore her long-sleeved garment which was on her, and she put her hand on her head and went away crying aloud as she went. Then Absalom, her brother, said to her, "Has Amnon, your brother, been with you? But now keep silent, my sister. He is your brother. Do not take this matter to heart." So Tamar remained and was desolate in her brother Absalom's house. Now when King David heard of all these matters, he was very angry. But Absalom didn't speak to Amnon either good or bad, for Absalom hated Amnon because he had violated his sister Tamar. Now it came about after 2 full years that Absalom had sheep shears in Baal Hazor, which is near Ephraim. And Absalom invited all the king's sons. And Absalom came to the king and said, "Behold, now your servant has sheep shearers. Please let the king and his servants go with your servant." But the king said to Absalom, "No, my son, we should not all go up, lest we be burdensome to you." Although he urged him, he would not go, but blessed him. Then Absalom said, "If not, please let my brother Amnon go with us." And the king said to him, "Why should he go with you?" But when Absalom urged him, he let Amnon and all the king's sons go with him. And Absalom commanded his servants, saying, "See now, when Amnon's heart is merry with wine, and when I say to you, 'Strike Amnon,' then put him to death. Don't fear. Have not I myself commanded you? Be courageous and be valiant." And the servants of Absalom did to Amnon just as Absalom had commanded. Then all the king's sons arose, and each mounted his mule and fled. Now, as far as I know, there's nobody in this room who has the name Amnon. But just because none of us have that name doesn't mean that we're not making the same mistakes that Amnon made. In fact, I'm sure there are many in our churches today that are tempted and actually do make the same mistakes. Now, with that in mind, I want to answer the question, what were the four major mistakes that Amnon made? And I want to identify those four mistakes so that we won't make the same mistakes. The first mistake that Amnon made was the mistake of misunderstanding the nature of real love. In verse 1, we're told that Amnon loved Tamar. And then in verses 3 and 4, when Jonadab came, Amnon said, "I am in love with Tamar, the sister of my brother Absalom." Now, it's evident from what the rest of the Bible has to say about love that Amnon didn't love Tamar at all. Rather, the person that Amnon loved was himself. We know that he didn't love Tamar because of what 1 Corinthians 13 says about real love. It says real love is kind. His love was not kind. Real love does not seek its own. He sought his own. Real love does not insist on having its own way. He did. Real love is not rude. His was. Real love doesn't rejoice at wrongdoing. He rejoiced at wrongdoing. We know he didn't really love Tamar because Galatians 5:13 says real love serves other people. He wasn't serving Tamar. We know that his love was not real love because 1 Peter 1:22 says real love proceeds from a pure heart. His heart was not pure. We know he didn't really love Tamar because real love focuses on meeting the needs of others. According to 1 John 3:17, he wasn't focusing on meeting the needs of Tamar. We know that his love was not real love because real love, according to 1 John 5 and verse 3, involves keeping God's commandments. This is love, that we keep his commandments. And so when we compare what Amnon called love to what the rest of the Bible says about love, we must draw the conclusion that Amnon was mistaken about what he thought he was experiencing. He was making the mistake of equating his love of self with the love of others. You simply can't study 2 Samuel 13 and come away with any other conclusion but that Amnon was a man who was all wrapped up in himself. You can't read this chapter without concluding that here is a man who doesn't know what it is to love God, and here's a man who doesn't know what it means to love other people. But he certainly is a man who is very much in love with himself. Notice some of the ways that his lack of love for others and his inordinate love of self manifested itself in his life. I see this inordinate love of self manifested in verse 1, where it's mentioned that Tamar was a beautiful woman. Now, there's nothing wrong with being a beautiful woman, unless the beautiful woman makes an idol out of her beauty and thinks she's better than other women because she is beautiful. And there's nothing wrong with a man loving a beautiful woman unless that's the main reason why he's attracted to her. I can't help but believe that one of the main reasons that Amnon was attracted to Tamar was because of her physical beauty. The very fact that the scripture mentions her beauty implies that her beauty had something to do with his desire to have her. What Amnon was doing at that point was focusing on her external beauty. And he failed to recognize, as Proverbs 31:30 says, that charm is deceitful and beauty is vain. But a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. I see Amnon's inordinate self-love throughout the whole passage. It was evident that he was only concerned about what Tamar could do for him. He wasn't at all concerned about what he could do for her. And real love is giving to other people. I see his inordinate self-love throughout the passage in that Amnon is making decisions determining what he will do and how he will relate to Tamar strictly on the basis of his feelings. Whereas if he really loved her, he would be making decisions on the basis of biblical principles. I see his inordinate self-love manifested in verses 11 through 14, which indicates that Amnon was primarily concerned about relating to Tamar on the physical level. Whereas if he really loved her, he would have been mainly concerned about being friends, about talking to her, about getting to know what she thought, what she desired, what she liked, what she disliked. He would have been mainly concerned about finding out what her interests were. He would have wanted to relate to her on an in-depth level. I see his inordinate self-love manifested in the fact that he really didn't care what Tamar wanted or thought. Whereas if he really loved her, and not just himself, he would have shown respect for her wants and for her desires. I see his inordinate self-love manifested in the fact that he was manipulative and deceitful with her, whereas real love will not selfishly manipulate or play tricks on other people. I see his inordinate self-love manifested in the fact that he was bossy and pushy and willing to use physical force to get her to do what he wanted her to do, whereas if he really loved her, in a godly manner, he would have never treated her in that way. I see his inordinate self-love manifested in the fact that he was unwilling to listen to her valid reasons for not wanting to do what he wanted her to do. Whereas if he really loved her, he would have listened to what she had to say. He wouldn't have shut his ears to her pleas. Real love is willing to listen to the other person's ideas, the other person's concerns, the other person's convictions. It's evident that Amnon was experiencing inordinate self-love and not unselfish biblical love because his passions and his desires were controlling him. He was not in control of his passions and desires. They were in control of him. It's evident that what Amnon was experiencing was inordinate self-love, not real biblical love, because verse 14 indicates he became very frustrated when he didn't get his own way. Whereas real love is long-suffering and kind. I see his inordinate self-love manifested in the fact that what he called love turned to dislike and hatred very quickly. And the Bible says real love bears all things, believes all things, endures all things. It's evident his love was a love of self because he had to have everything right now. He wanted it when he wanted it and how he wanted it, whereas real love is patient and is willing to wait. It's evident that what Amnon was experiencing was inordinate self-love and not real biblical love because he was not at all concerned about how what he did would affect Tamar or hurt other people. He was totally self-centered, whereas real love seeks not its own, wants not itself. It does not behave itself inconsiderately. So one of the mistakes that Amnon made that ruined his life and brought heartache to other people was the mistake of allowing himself to be motivated and driven and controlled by self-love rather than love for God and love for others. This was true in the account that we have in 2 Samuel 13 and cannot be denied. It is incontrovertible. And I suspect that what we have in 2 Samuel 13 is a snapshot of the life of Amnon. It's only a part, a small part, of a DVD of his entire life. For Amnon, an abundance of love for self and little or no love for others was a characteristic of his life. Amnon lived to please Amnon. Amnon made decisions on the basis of self-love. Amnon related to his parents on the basis of self-love. Amnon related to other people on the basis of what they could do for him. Amnon knew nothing of serving others. He knew nothing of self-denial. He knew nothing of laying down his life for other people. He knew nothing of Luke 9:23, where Jesus said, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself. Let him take up his cross," which is saying go to a cross and die. He knew nothing of dying to his own self-interest and his self-desires. He knew nothing of really following the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, because I'm involved in counseling, and in particular do a considerable amount and have done a considerable amount of marriage counseling, one of the questions that I'm often asked is, what do you think is the greatest cause of problems in marriages today? And the answer is, according to James 4, verses 1 and 2, the answer is, James says, what is the source of quarrels and troubles? What is the source of your problems with other people? Is it not your desires that wage war in your members? You want something and you can't have it, and so you fight and you quarrel. The greatest cause of problems in interpersonal relationships is selfishness. It's the same problem that Amnon had. We love ourselves inordinately rather than loving God and others supremely. And consequently, people waste their lives and ruin their lives because they misunderstand and don't care about real love from a biblical perspective. The second mistake that Amnon made was the mistake of choosing the wrong kind of friends and listening to the wrong kind of counsel. And you have this in verses 3 through 5. Amnon had a friend whose name was Jonadab, the son of Shimeah. So he had a friend. The text calls this friend Jonadab, which means Jehovah is bountiful. It calls him a friend, but in reality, he was a friend in name only. The truth is, if Jonadab was a friend, Amnon didn't need this kind of friend. In truth, Amnon had someone who acted like an enemy and gave him bad, ungodly, unbiblical counseling. Now, verse 3 says that this friend was shrewd. The Hebrew word which is translated here was sometimes used to describe a skilled craftsman, someone who was an expert in carpentry. Or in our day, it might be someone who is excellent in terms of sculpture or in painting. Well, it might be used in terms of people who had practical skills. It's used that way in Exodus 36 and Isaiah chapter 40. But sometimes this word translated shrewd is used to describe someone who's clever. Someone who's good at convincing another person to do a certain thing that may be very unwise. Someone who's tricky or sneaky. Someone who's subtle. It's used that way in Psalm 83, where the Bible says this, where it uses exactly the same word, verse 3. of Psalm 83. They make shrewd plans against your people, and they conspire together against your treasured ones. And so this shrewdness is connected with being a conspirator. And a conspiracy isn't talking about something that's right out front. You sneak around behind, and you plan, and you try to convince somebody of something, and you don't really mean that it's for their good. Well, that's what it says here. It's referring to someone who can cook up a plan that seems to make sense. And so he had a friend who could cook up plans. Now, verse 4, notice the way he addressed Amnon. He didn't just say, "Amnon, I have a question I want to ask you." No, he used flattery. He said, "Oh, son of the king." Now, it's obvious that if he's a friend, that he doesn't have to use that kind of language. He can just say, "Hey, Amnon, I got a question for you." He uses what the Bible calls flattery. What Amnon did would be similar to me approaching one of President Obama's daughters and say, "Oh, daughter of President Obama." Now, if I knew her name, why don't I just call her name? No, he's trying to use flattery. Remember who you are. You're the son of a king. Another thing that I notice here is that he asked him a question. Now, again, there's nothing inherently wrong with what he asked him. But again, you've got to read that question in the light of what you find in the rest of the story. He was pretending to be really interested in Amnon. "What's bothering you? I've noticed this from day to day, and I'm really interested in you. Amnon, I'm concerned about the fact that you don't seem to be feeling very well." So he's pretending at this point to convince Amnon that he has his best interest in mind. But from the counsel he gave, it's evident that he didn't have his best interest in mind. In verse 5, we have the record of the counsel that Amnon gave him. Now, at this point, Amnon could have been a real help to, or Jonadab could have been a real help to Amnon. He could have given him godly counsel about how to handle his ungodly desires. He could have given him godly counsel about God's directions. He could have told him that what he wanted to do was wrong in the sight of God. He could have told him that he was being selfish. But instead of giving him good counsel, he encouraged him to commit sin. He encouraged him to do that which would ultimately ruin his life and do great damage to Tamar and bring heartache to other people. He encouraged him to be dishonest, to do whatever was necessary for him to fulfill his sinful, selfish desires. Now, as I said earlier, Amnon may have thought that Jonadab was his friend. And Jonadab may have thought of himself as a friend, but in reality, he was an enemy, because anyone who encourages anyone to do something that is ungodly is not a friend. That person is an enemy. And so Amnon's life was ruined because he chose the wrong kind of friends and listened to the wrong kind of counsel. Amnon ruined his life and brought great heartache to other people by making the mistake of choosing an evidently ungodly person to be a friend from whom he sought counsel. And again, as I mentioned while discussing his first mistake, I suspect that what we have here is a snapshot of Amnon's life. It's only a little part of his whole life. I suspect that Amnon had a habit of choosing the wrong kind of friends. I suspect that Amnon had a habit of going to the wrong kind of people for counsel. I suspect that Amnon's closest friends were just like Jonadab. I suspect that when Amnon wanted counsel, he made it a practice of going to someone who would agree with him and help him to fulfill his desires. Going to someone who wouldn't rebuke him, but rather encourage him. Now, according to the Bible, in Proverbs 13 and verse 20, if you run around with a wise man, you will become wise. And if you run around with somebody who is a fool, you'll be destroyed. Now, what does the Bible mean when it's talking about wisdom as over against foolishness? Well, the book of Proverbs has 23 places where the Bible contrasts wisdom with foolishness. If you run around with somebody who, in biblical terminology, is a fool, you will be destroyed. If you listen to the wrong kind of counsel, you're headed for trouble. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. He doesn't turn to those people. He doesn't make those people his best friends and his confidants. The Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And wisdom in the Bible is not an intellectual matter. It's not a matter of somebody who has more degrees than a thermometer. No. A wise person in the Word of God is one who knows the Word of God and knows how to apply the Word of God, the knowledge of God, to life. Wisdom is not merely an intellectual matter. It's a moral matter. And Amnon didn't turn to somebody who feared the Lord. Now, the Bible, as I said, has 23 comparisons between wisdom and foolishness. For example, and I won't go through all 23 of them, so don't get anxious about it. The Bible says in Proverbs 10 and verse 18, a mark of a fool is that a fool spreads slander and enjoys slander. That's the mark of a fool. He tears people down. He shares pieces of information about someone who has no right to know that information. He has no right to passing that information around. There's no positive, there's no profitable, there's no godly reason for doing it. The Bible says that's a fool. Fool is a person who likes to put his finger in a wound and rub it. Whereas a wise person, according to Proverbs 12:18, is a person who brings healing. He builds people up. He looks for ways to encourage others in a godly way. He looks for ways to bring peace to a situation. A wise person likes to heal wounds. The book of Proverbs says in Proverbs 17 and verse 7 that a fool is a person who says stupid things. He doesn't think before he speaks. He just talks. He opens his mouth. He pours out evil things. Proverbs 15:28. He tries to be funny in a group and says things that are not the best to be said just to get a laugh. That's a fool. Whereas Proverbs 10:19 says, a wise person restrains his lips. And he says, if it's not worth saying, if it's not going to build somebody up, I'm not going to say it. He doesn't have to be the center of attention. Whereas a fool wants to be the center of attention, the life of the party. Proverbs 18:2 says that a fool doesn't want to learn. He only wants to talk. He likes to hear himself talk and doesn't like to hear others talk. Whenever a discussion about a topic comes up, he has something to say. It doesn't matter what it is. He has an opinion on everything under the sun. That's a fool. Proverbs 10:14 says that a wise person stores up knowledge. He stores it up and doesn't think he has to tell everything that he knows, or even as a fool sometimes says things which he doesn't really know. And a wise person listens to wiser men and soaks it in. He doesn't automatically think that he knows it all about everything. He loves to learn new things and is willing to just shut up. According to Proverbs 29 and verse 20, a fool is a person who's hasty in his words. He answers the matter, Proverbs 18:13, before he even hears it. If someone comes with a problem and he thinks he knows the solution before the person has even done sharing the problem, that's a fool. Whereas Proverbs 18:15 says, the ear of the wise seeks knowledge. And a wise person is always quicker to listen than he is to speak. He wants to speak that which is solid, whereas the picture of the fool is a person who always has his mouth open, and the wise man has his ears open. So, we go on with quite a few other things, but Jonadab was that kind of a person who was a fool. Now, next to the Bible, Pilgrim's Progress is my favorite book. I love it because it's so biblical, and it's so interesting, and it's so practical, and it's so relevant. In this book, Bunyan does a beautiful job of illustrating many biblical truths, one of them being the issue of choosing the right kind of friends and counselors. In the book, you have examples of bad friends and counselors in Obstinate, Mr. Worldly Wiseman, Timorous and Mistrust, Wanton, Shame, The Old Man, Mr. Byans, Giant Despair, Atheist, The Flatterer, and Mr. Talkative. Whereas you have examples of good friends and counselors in Evangelist, Faithful, Watchful, Hopeful, Piety, Prudence, Charity. So, when Christian followed wrong counsel in Pilgrim's Progress, he always got into trouble. And when he associated with the right kind of people and followed the right kind of counsel, he had success. So the Bible says, if you walk with wise men, you become wise. If you run around with fools, you will be destroyed. Now, Amnon chose to ignore this clear biblical truth, and the results were devastating. And there are many who are doing the same thing today. They're ruining their lives because they're running around with the wrong kind of people, whether it be on television, whether it be in movies, whether it be in books, or whether it be in person. And they're ruining their lives. The Bible says it's so important. Leave the presence of a fool, Proverbs 14, or you will not discern the words of knowledge. Stay away. Don't make them your best friends. Don't go to them for counsel. Don't get your counsel from the Oprah program. Don't get it from Dr. Phil or some other place. Get it from somebody who will give to you the Word of God. Hang around with those kinds of people. The third mistake that he made that ruined his life was that he made the mistake of turning from the worship of the true and living God to the worship of a false god. In a word, Amnon ruined his life because he became an idolater. You say, I don't see that there. Yes, it's there. He ruined his life because he became an idolater. Now remember who Amnon was, the oldest son of King David. Next in line for the throne. Remember that Amnon didn't come from a pagan family. He was part of a godly family. His father had written large portions of scripture. As I said, he must have known the Ten Commandments. He must have known that he shouldn't have any other gods before the real God. He must have known thou shalt not commit adultery. He must have known thou shalt not bear false witness. He must have known what Leviticus 19 has to say about sex with anyone who isn't your mate. Amnon knew that what he wanted to do violated God's word, but he didn't care. He knew that if he forced Tamar and was found out, there would be serious consequences, but Amnon didn't care. He knew that his father would not approve, but he didn't care. He knew that Tamar's brother Absalom would not approve, but he didn't care. He knew how this might affect Tamar, but he didn't care. He knew that God would not approve, but he didn't care. You see, his own desire was more important to him than anything else, and that's idolatry. When I elevate anything, including my own desires, what I want above what God wants and what God desires, I am an idolater. How can you tell when something's become an idol? And frankly, folks, this issue of idolatry is one that runs throughout the whole of Scripture, Old Testament and New Testament. The people of God, Pastor Ty read from Psalm 107. They would turn away from God, get themselves in trouble, and then they'd cry out to the Lord, and God would deliver them, and not long after, they'd go right back into idolatry again. And in the New Testament, Paul says, "My little children, keep yourself from idolatry." John says it also at the very end of his epistle. Paul talks about how we as Christians are prone to idolatry, and it's not a little statue that is hung up, we sit up someplace. It's the idolatry, as Ezekiel says, that's found in our hearts. We set up idols in our hearts. Something we want. Well, can you tell that it's become an idol? How can you tell that this Amnon had become an idolater? Well, Amnon was obsessed with his desire for Tamar. He thought about it all day. He probably couldn't get it out of his mind when he went to bed at night. He may have lost sleep. He may have been so obsessed by his desire for Tamar that he may have lost his appetite. He may have had headaches. He may have lost weight. It says he was sick because of his love for Tamar. He may have had stomach problems. He just couldn't get her out of his mind. She occupied his thoughts. And when something occupies your thoughts and you automatically turn to it, when you're not forced to think about something else, that something becomes an idol. So what do your thoughts turn most? What do you dwell upon? He didn't just want her as a friend. He didn't want to talk to her only. He wanted to have sex with her. He desired her physically. And all through the day, he thought about her. He fantasized about what it would be like. And if he was able to sleep at night, he may have even dreamt about it. Secondly, you know something has become an idol by how you react when you don't get what you want. When he didn't get what he wanted, he devised sinful ways of getting it. He had to have it. And thirdly, even though he knew it was sin in the sight of God, he still had to have it, and so he devised ways of getting what he wanted. And third, you know something's become an idol when you are willing to do something that is sinful. Not only devise it, but do what is sinful to get what you want. And that's what happened with Amnon. He devised a way of getting what he wanted that was in flagrant violation to the Word of God. But he didn't care. He didn't care that God said that that was wrong. He was an idolater. And my friends, when we elevate our desires and it's more important to us to fulfill our desires than it is to do what God wants us to do, we are idolaters. When something becomes so important that we think about it all the time, we moan and groan about it, he was miserable because he didn't get what he wanted. Frequently in counseling, I'll ask someone when they are upset about something, I'll say, "Well, why does that bother you? Why does that bother you?" I mean, it's not wrong to want something if it's in accordance with the Word of God, but it's wrong for us to be bothered about it if we don't get it. And he was bothered about it and was willing to devise an ungodly plan to get what he wanted. That, my friends, is idolatry. Now, in Amnon's case, having Tamar had become his god. It was ruling his life. He didn't just want to be with her. He wanted to have her. He couldn't live without her. His thought was that if he had her, he would be happy and his life would be complete. But if he couldn't have her, he would be miserable. He started the day bowing down at the shrine of his idol. He went through the day bowing at that shrine. Whenever he had a free moment, that was what he thought about. He wanted Tamar more than he wanted God. And Amnon chose to fill his mind with his own ideas. He chose to be motivated by the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes. He chose to make the provision for the flesh, in Amnon's case, the idol that he was worshiping, the god in whom he had placed his trust, was the idol of sex. And it ruined his life and the lives of others as well. And it's ruined the lives of many today, even people who call themselves Christians. They get obsessed with the desire for sexual fulfillment. Now, not everybody, of course, and it's interesting in Pilgrim's Progress, there's a chapter, it's chapter 7 in my version, where a Christian meets up with Faithful, and Faithful talks about 5 of the temptations that he's had. And the first temptation that Faithful had was a temptation from wanton, which is another word for lust or sexual fulfillment. Now, that wasn't the first and primary idol of that to which Christian was prone. There's nothing in the book of Pilgrim's Progress which indicates that Christians struggle with sexual temptation. But that doesn't mean that he wasn't prone to idolatry, because all of us are. And you're and my idol may not be the same as Amnon's, but the point is that the Bible gives us hundreds of warnings against sexual immorality, but it gives us hundreds of warnings about other things as well. Amnon's idol was sex, and many are tempted to that kind of idolatry in our day. But there are other false gods. The idol may be money. The idol may be success in the eyes of people. The idol may be power. I need power. And when people won't do what I want them to do, I get upset, I get angry, I push, I shove, I slander, I gossip, I do whatever, because I must have power. It may be control. It may be respect. I want people to respect me. And so I do various kinds of things to gain the respect of people. Not because I want to please God. Oh, I can tell her I'm doing this because I really love God and I want to please God. But in my heart of hearts, what I want more than anything else is the respect of people. The idol may be approval. It may be a big home. It may be investments. I wake up in the morning, I'm thinking about my investments. I go through the day thinking about my investments. And when the stock market drops, oh boy, I really have problems. My idol may be a big car. We have all kinds of counterfeit gods. That was one of the mistakes that Amnon made, and it's a very common mistake in our day, even among professing Christians. We worship and serve a false god. We want a successful life, and we're more concerned about our definition of success than we are about living to please God. We don't know anything in continuity of what Paul says in Philippians 1:20. He says, my earnest expectation and my hope is that I shall not be ashamed, but that now, as always, I will magnify Christ in my body, whether I live or whether I die. That's what I want. I want to magnify Christ, and if that means I can magnify Christ more by dying, praise the Lord, bring along death. If I can magnify Him more by living, then I want to live. He didn't make decisions on the basis of what he wanted or what felt good or what brought happiness in a worldly way, but he made decisions on the basis of what would make God look big in the eyes of people. His own desires, his own thoughts, his own wants were not really important to him. He didn't ruin his life. But we can ruin our lives when we're more concerned about pleasing ourselves or control or power or wealth or respect or approval or whatever than we are about pleasing God. And that brings me to the fourth mistake that Amnon made that really ruined his life for time and eternity. Amnon made the mistake of living the sinful, selfish, idolatrous life he lived and never repenting of his sin and seeking forgiveness. The mistakes Amnon made were serious, and they ended up ruining his life because he never acknowledged to Tamar how horribly he had sinned against her and asked for her forgiveness. He never acknowledged his sin to Absalom, her brother, and asked for Absalom's forgiveness. He never went to Jonadab and said, Jonadab, I never should have listened to you. I was wrong. I was a bad testimony. When you told me to do that, I said, that no, I should have said, no, I won't do that. It's wrong. In the sight of God, I didn't do that. Please forgive me, Jonadab. He never went to his father and asked for his forgiveness. He never did that. And he never went to others who knew what he had done, and they did. Most of all, he never went to God to acknowledge his sorrow. He never did what Proverbs 28:13 says. He who covers his sin shall not prosper, but he who confesses and forsakes his sin shall have mercy. He never did what his father did. His father made some serious sinful mistakes. But his father acknowledged it openly. He wrote Psalm 51, which was a psalm which was to be sung in church. He came to a place where he didn't cover it up. He acknowledged that what he had done was horribly sinful, and it was something for which he needed forgiveness. He repented. And so you have Psalm 32, which says, blessed is the man whose transgression is forgiven and whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man in whose spirit there is no guile. Well, not Amnon. He never did that. Yes, my friends, Amnon made a great mistake by confusing self-love with real love, by choosing the wrong people for close friendship and counsel, by choosing to worship a false god instead of the God of the Bible. But the greatest and ultimate mistake that he made was the mistake of not repenting of his sins and seeking God's forgiveness or the forgiveness of others. And because he failed to do that, he ruined his life. And so will you. And so will I. Now, at the beginning of the message, I mentioned John Piper's story of the man who came as an old man and said, I've wasted it. I've wasted it. And my friends, if we were able to go to hell and visit Amnon, I wonder if Amnon wouldn't be saying to us, I wasted it. I wasted it. I had incredible opportunities, but I wasted it. But it's too late for Amnon. But it's not too late for you or for me. I challenge you as I challenge myself, not to ruin your life, by confusing self-love with the love for God and the love for others, to not waste your life by choosing the wrong kind of friends and counselors, to not waste your life by worshiping and serving idols instead of the true and living God. I challenge you to keep short accounts with God in terms of your sin. Evaluate yourself on a daily basis and ask God for forgiveness and ask Him for help to choose the right kind of friends, to learn what it is to love Him with all your heart, soul, and strength, and others as you love yourself, and to worship and serve the true and the living God, not yourself or other people. May God help us to hear His word and not make the mistakes that Amnon made, but rather to live in the way that God wants us to live and for His glory. Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you that it's so practical and so relevant. This is a horrible story in 2 Samuel 13. And we can look at it and say, oh, what a terrible thing Amnon did. Yes, 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 he did. But really, Lord, that we've never gotten into some of the things that Amnon got into, we can make the same mistakes by loving ourselves more than we love you and more than we love others, and by listening to the wrong kind of counsel and following that counsel, and by becoming idolaters. Father, help us to be people who really love you and who deal honestly with our sin. Make us to be the kind of people who don't waste our lives, ruin our lives, or the lives of others, but who live our lives in such a way that you get honor and glory and that people are really helped. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.